Welcome back to another episode of QCFE, Queer Christian Family Values Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Birchnell, with our co-host, Andrew Cox. And we are with his lovely wife today, Chan Lee. And we're going to dive into feminism in regards to the Bible and all that fun stuff. So, Chan Lee, go ahead and give a quick introduction of yourself, and then we can dive right into it.
Hi, I'm Chan Lee. A bit of background on me in no particular order. I'm from East Tennessee. I still live there currently. I'm married. I have a daughter. I'm queer. I'm an artist. I have a background in children's ministry as well as young adult ministry, as well as a background in developing an aftercare and reentry program for returning citizens in East Tennessee. Because it's kind of relevant to the podcast, the umbrella term of queer that I use for myself breaks down into I'm bi and demisexual. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the term demisexual, it generally means that you don't experience sexual attraction to someone until after you have a strong emotional connection with them. And that has different implications for different people. Like, that's not necessarily how I would define it for myself, but that is the broad strokes of the definition.
Well, I'm glad to hear all of that. I think for our listeners, kind of getting that background on you is going to be important as we dive into the next segment, I guess. So the general topic that we're going to be going over, I've got notes, so I'm looking down, is general restriction on women in Christianity. So, like, what examples would you talk about? I mean, obviously people know there are restrictions. We all know that one, several churches that are like, oh, well, women can't be preachers or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, what specifically would you talk about when it came to women in regards to the church, in regards to Christianity, that are it's restrictive?
Whew, well, I'm going to come out swinging pretty hard and say, if we start at the beginning of things, I think a problem that I see pretty actively in the church is women aren't seen as whole people with their own direct connection to God and spiritual gifts. Because I know when we were talking about this, like, the first thing that comes up usually is women in leadership. And to me, that's the end of this conversation. I don't think you can talk, we wouldn't be talking about women in leadership if the church viewed women as whole people with their own direct connection to God and with their own spiritual gifts. So that kind of encapsulates a lot of the restrictions we see on women in the church. And I know, like, when I say restrictions on women in the church, it's such a broad topic because it has to do with that intersection of race, gender, sexuality, all of these things that go into womanhood, I guess, if you want to call it. And so when I'm talking about just like at the very base, the restrictions we see on women in the church, the base is that women aren't allowed to do a lot of stuff. We see men encouraged to do things, and then we see women like intentionally held back from certain things. And that does have to do with leadership in the church, but I think it also has to do with roles in marriage or partnerships, has to do with parenting and just general day-to-day things like sex and modesty. The way that women are treated in the church is markably different than how men are treated in the church.
Oh yeah.
Can I ask a question there?
Go for it.
Hi there. I think you're very attractive.
Oh my gosh.
Don't do this on the podcast. It's feminists.
I'm
just using it.
It's like, I respect your brains. Say that.
I respect a whole lot of you.
Oh, yeah, okay. Just hasn't so, seen me in 20 minutes. So.
There you go.
It's hard. I'm like a Labrador. And okay, so Chanley, Miss Garber, when we, you and I were raised in a program-centric church structure, right? Program-centric church structure. And a lot of people are either what I would call a pre-program church structure, which is like small country Protestant church that when they get bigger may develop programs, or they're in a programmed church structure. A lot of people are. I would say that there's exceptions. It's not all Protestant, but looking at our viewer base, a lot of us here were Protestants. So can you give, when you say that women are treated as if they don't have whole connections and men by proxy are, can you think of how churches program or how they create this? Well, can you think of this idea that women aren't treated as whole people? Like, does that make sense? Is that a question?
I'm going to answer it. Really prominent again, or like in all churches I've been to and churches I've worked in, women are allowed to teach pre-puberty. They are not allowed to teach any child that's gone through puberty. You stop teaching at like age 10. Women run children's ministries, preschool, babies, elementary school, you name it. The women are in charge of those. Women are encouraged to be in charge of those very early formative years, that as soon as kids hit puberty, men are in charge. So as soon as kids start entering the world as an adolescent in puberty, and immediately your world, you can tell that she's not the leader. The man is centered further stage, like further upstage. Women aren't allowed to teach kids that are entering that adult phase of life, because you start adult life as an adolescent in puberty. So as soon as these kids enter that more adult space, they no longer have women as an authority in their life. And so immediately their spiritual authority of adulthood, of maturity, becomes a man.
Makes sense.
You also see it on the worship stage. You often have like a woman who is a lead vocalist, but very rarely is she the worship leader. So even in this moment that the church considers incredibly holy, this worship to God, women aren't leaders. So I think there's a lot of ways in the programming that you can see on stage, or stages, I guess, that women aren't seen as able to lead others to God, especially like other adults. I think sometimes kind of what Andrew was talking about with the programmed and pre-programming, I think a lot of churches get to the point where they have to create women's ministries because they go, oh crap, okay, so we have to make space for these people that we haven't treated as part of the church. And those come along later, they're very generalized. There's kind of like, okay, well, the women will figure out what to do with the women a lot of times. And I think that's something we see even in the more like quote unquote progressive churches, is you still have these specialized spaces for women in the church, whereas church as a whole is for men. Like, I guess you could, like, it's easy to see that as like really taking care of women, but it's the same reason we have children's ministry. Children don't go into the main sanctuary because they're not part of the adult congregation. Have such a generalized half of our church ministry, I think it speaks to a certain subconscious idea that women aren't really part of the congregation. And I think that a lot of people might hear that kind of as an extreme thing to say, but I've having worked in a church and having gone through like church planting assessment sort of things that I can talk about later, like I've seen what it looks like to be in those planning rooms, and I've sat in there, and
makes me think about how we treat so many people groups as not the main congregation. And Chanley, I think what you said really triggers for me this idea that we treat so many groups of people like they aren't the main church.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, kind of what I was saying, like with this intersectionality of what it means to be a woman. Like, it's like I'm so limited in my context as a white woman. Like, I have some overlap with the queer community, obviously, but I grew up financially secure. I'm white. There's so many life experiences that I don't have. And I have a lot of privilege. And even so, I can see where the church doesn't include me. And so to me, if I take that privilege and say, this is where I'm at, I have to look behind me and see how much further away the church has put other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really disheartening and kind of dangerous.
Totally. I like how you were talking about, in the sense of, like, you acknowledge your own privilege in that aspect. Mm-hmm. And eventually I would like to get people of color and especially women of color on this podcast to really talk about those experiences. But the fact that you're saying that despite having all of these privileges, you can still witness, you know, how bad the church has done in regards to including women in general. Like, I went to a church before, you know, I found my current home church, and it was very odd to me. Yes, I grew up Catholic, and, you know, there is a separation between nuns and priests and all of that, but in regards to this church, it was women didn't lead anything. If anything, if there was supposedly women leading, they were with their husbands in the in small groups, and mostly the husbands spoke about, you know, and led the group. But they would say, oh, they're co-leaders in the group, and you would never see a woman just by herself leading a group. It was always like this and it was always the man that really talked about anything. The women, the wife would usually make sure that the food was ready for the group, or that the kids, you know, were in a separate room. It was almost like she waited on the group versus actually leading the group in discussions. And I don't know what it's like for, yeah, you know,
women as servers.
Yeah. And I'm just like, it was really odd to me because I grew up with, I mean, as a trans person, I've seen both sides of things. I've seen how women are being treated as a woman in the church versus treated as a man. And it's like I got a promotion as soon as I came out as a guy and people started seeing me. It was really, really bad. Like, it was like, oh, you know, look at this strong, handsome young man. We're going to like let him do stuff and all these things. And it was like all of a sudden the doors opened, and in comparison to how I was prior, it was like, I'm lucky if I get to like read anything, you know, kind of situation. And it's a mind trip. That's all I can explain it as.
So Chanley, I think you've given us a really good introduction to your experience in the church, and Alex, you've given us a nice point, but I just really want to highlight for a second here, the big reason that this isn't just Alex and me having a conversation about feminism is because we're aware that as men, we can perpetuate the problem by being dudes talking about feminism. It would be the same thing that if the two of us sat here and tried to chat up about, racial injustice. It just really doesn't further the narrative in a meaningful way. And I just really want to highlight the importance of, like, we see there's a problem in the church, and there's obviously a problem in the church. We have someone here ready to tell us about the problem in the church. And if we weren't just woke enough to realize that a problem in feminism is when dudes use their privilege to talk about feminism, then we probably wouldn't be in this spot to have such a attractive person to
I think you just shot like your whole point.
Yeah, right there. He shot himself in the foot.
You look so great.
Again, we are married. Those who are listening, that is why he's flirting.
I'm not harassing a guest.
No,
I'm not.
This is totally consensual. I signed up for this. Forever.
He's harassing his wife.
I'm definitely harassing someone. It's just someone who signed up for me forever. Okay.
Okay.
So
blooper.
But seriously. or this would just be a fun clip. Why not? But real talk though. So Chandler did a great job encapsulating the problem. Mm-hmm. We're aware that we're still people of the church, at least in some way, however that expression comes out. Chandler, how do we fix it? Where do we start? Like what even is feminism from a Christian perspective? What do we do with this?
So advocacy of women's rights on the basis of equality of the sexes.
Okay.
And I think that's a really watered down version of what needs to happen, because I think feminism is an ideology. Radical feminism is an action. The church, that is a huge umbrella term. And I know it does not encapsulate everybody's experience. I think probably a better way to say it, I guess, like our experience with United States churches. I know there are similar issues in other churches as well, but just like saying, our perspective is limited. But I think we have to reorganize. Because if it's kind of like the women CEO issue. If you say, well, we just need to have more women as CEOs, we need a woman president, and then all our problems will be fixed. Mm-hmm. And no, we're still operating in a sexist society, and they just happen to have broken through the glass ceiling. Women have internalized misogyny. Women have internalized all of society on them and onto their views of self and onto their views of other women. And that happens in the church too, where women who do quote unquote make it will look back at other women and say, well, I did it. Why can't you? Mm-hmm. Or I don't, you don't need feminism. We're all liberated in Christ. Like, you hear these things that are stepaways from where we need to be, and where we need to be is at the very beginning. And we need to start in Genesis and go, okay, in the beginning, where did we go wrong? And like, funnily enough, like, I think where the church started to go wrong is in Genesis. I think we approach women as the originators of sin, and we see women as the reason there was a fall, and we blame women, whether it be consciously or subconsciously, whether it be something we actively say or just something we've kept as a society and kept as a church in how we treat women and what kind of practices we do. We start with that. And we have this beginning point that a lot of us have interpreted as women are the problem. Women can't be whole people. Women are the where sin comes from, and they have to deal with that. And so it's men's job to lift them out of that. And so you have to start back at the beginning. And I know I'm being really redundant, but you have to reorganize how the church works. And you have to take a really hard look at how the church has approached the idea of women and womanhood and anything that has to do with that since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like we need a feminist Bible study. I mean, am I wrong? Like, I'm not saying like, hey, Alex, plug for next time. QCS.
No.
but I am saying, like, real talk though. I mean, doing textual criticism, you know, starting from a new place in the Bible, is that what we need? Do we need to just kind of reorient ourselves to the text, and then, at least as, you know, Protestants that hold the text the way that we do, or do we? Is that the next step? Like, what do you think?
Well, I think you have to go, like, yes, yeah. I think you also have to go a little bit further, because it's not just the Bible that we as Christians turn to for spiritual leadership. The other big word would be church fathers. Mm. And a lot of those church fathers have really complicated, bad things to say about women if they speak about them. And I'm not one for throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That's not what I'm advocating for. I'm not saying, well, Augustine had mommy issues and that influenced his view of sex and women, so we should just toss all of his stuff out.
I mean, he did have that. That was part of it.
That's had mommy issues. Yeah, I know. But I do think it's important to take everything as a whole, and that includes theologians. And we can pick apart these other texts that we pull from and say, okay, what is actually, like, once you're done with the biblical textual criticism, like, how do we then use that to look at who else we have let influence us? Who do we look at and say, okay, so yeah, this seems really grounded in the Bible. This really seems grounded in God. And then what do we say? That seems more like a product of, I hate using the phrase product of their time, but like, what is a product of society?
Yeah.
And taking those down a notch. Because I know, like, reading through, so I started seminary and stopped for a variety of reasons, but reading a lot of the quote-unquote church fathers is really painful as a woman, because you held up as these incredible theologians that we're supposed to turn to for interpreting the Bible, and distances me from God. And I think it's not just that, but there's a few reasons, and pretty much all of them have to do with being a woman, that I had to step away from being an active member in a church for a while. Oh. Because I just couldn't do it anymore. But yeah, I think we have to kind of take a look at our entire history. I think it's something we as Christians are called to do, is to take a measure of ourselves. And I think that includes our history, that includes our holy texts, that includes all of it. And we have to look at it and say, have we let society influence it too much? Have we taken the God out of Christianity and let society influence how we see each other?
I think 100%. So in regards to, like, we're talking, like, if we go back biblically, because, and then include church fathers, but I know I've heard time and time again, they use, like you mentioned, about women being, you know, the root of the sin or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And then I've also heard people saying that women can't be in leadership because they weren't, Jesus didn't use women in leadership. And I'm like, I don't see that at all, because he legitimately had women in his, as his apostles, and he actually sent them out in mm-hmm. to preach the word. The only reason is the society at the time was very separate, women versus men, like they couldn't be in each other's spaces. So first of all, he had to have women to go and be able to reach women. Mm-hmm. But women, like there was, I can't remember her name, but she actually backed financially the ministry for a big part.
I forget her name, but it's in Acts, and it was the founding of the Church of Philippi. She dealt in textiles.
Yeah, like she was like, you know, like she was, she was in, so I just don't.
You're talking about Lydia?
I don't know her name.
Oh,
see, that's also a, that's also could be considered a misogynistic issue, is we don't know.
Absolutely. We're not taught about the church mothers. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's horrible.
I think part of that's personal, but I think a lot of that has to do with church. I think a lot of times women get these little, they do like a special 4-week series on women in the Bible, and that's mm-hmm. what you get, but you don't hear their names weekly. You hear Paul every week. You hear the disciples every week. And we kind of, again, put women in their own little box because they're not included in the rest.
I remember growing up, and they did a series. They wanted to do women in the Bible, and they wanted to talk about Bathsheba. And that was like, oh, yeah.
Don't get me started on that. That poor woman.
And I'm like, you've got a bunch of kids that you're talking to, and that's the, you want to like uplift the women, and you want to talk about like, you know, I mean, there's a whole other issue, but they wanted to up, like, you know, prostitution. They wanted to talk about prostitution, and it's like, okay, well, this is the woman that represented that. Or they wanted to talk about all this other stuff. And it was like,
buddy,
where are the good people?
Well, I mean, also Bathsheba, like, is absolutely a victim. And yeah, I think there's a lot of times where we I think that's an entirely different conversation.
It is,
I think that has to do with a lot of, like, how we glorify people in the Bible instead of accepting them as whole human beings like us. But
But yeah, like, I mean, the whole point of me bringing that up is we don't – people want to change, it feels like. Well, they're always – the conservative side is like, oh, well, you guys cherry pick. It's like, well – I kind of feel like everybody is cherry picking like so hard, especially when it comes to women. Like, they want to make these people, the victims, into like these villains, and we don't know names of people in the Bible of, like you were mentioning, we know, you know, Matthew, Luke, John, we know all of them, but we don't really talk about Ruth, or we don't talk about all these people that are like really prominent figures that could showcase how women in the Bible were inspiring, but we don't talk about it.
Just full confession, there's something about hearing this conversation within the context of doing this episode that is really helpful for me. Disclosure, you know, academically, I understand feminism pretty well, but I'm learning that I still have a lot of work to do. And there's something about hearing this in correspondence to the church that's really helpful for me. But I have a concern, and that is that myself, maybe like other listeners, other male listeners that we have, or what should I do with this information instead of just become a better advocate? Like I feel like I can be a good advocate. I feel like I care about being a good advocate, but what is my role from where I sit in the conversation that we're having moving forward? And how do I best serve a positive radical feminist agenda?
Really good question.
Loaded. And
that's super loaded. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just what I'm, and maybe there's not a great answer like that's,
no,
that's,
I don't think you need to counseling. Apologize for a complicated question.
Okay.
I think it just means that I'm not going to have a very organized answer.
That's fine. Go for it.
Go with the theme of our podcast. Nothing's organized.
Yeah, I think kind of what I'm reminded of that in that moment is that coming up, speaking of Nick, like forgetting names, is that moment where as long as he holds his arms up, they're winning. Remind me of the names of the story.
Moses.
Yeah. And as his arms begin to grow tired, his brother holds them up. I think women can do their own advocating, but I think we need the support of the men in the church, because in that moment, they weren't just operating as two separate people. They were operating as one in the same goal. And I know I'm tired. I hate metaphors, but I had to step away from the church because I'm exhausted and I'm grieving, and I can't do it on my own. If I have to keep arguing my own existence to people, arguing my humanity and my spiritual humanity to people, it's exhausting. And we need people in the church who are seen as authorities by everyone, so men, to say, no, listen to her. Listen to them. When they say that they need this, they mean it. When they say they need this, God is speaking through them to tell you, to call you to task, to say, treat them as you have treated yourselves. See them as you see them yourself. See them as my child as you see yourself as my child. And I think it is because men right now are the primary leaders in the church as a whole, a lot of that work is going to come from the pulpit. I think We need everyday advocates who call, because I think the biggest thing is it's not always educating other people and being real academic about it. It's like when people say sexist things, call them out on it. When people say things that you know aren't true, call them out. On an individual level, we educate people. And then from the pulpit, you stop worrying about keeping your congregation in their seats. And you start recognizing that not all your congregation feels like your congregation. And you start teaching from that perspective. And you start teaching where you've gone wrong. And you start owning up to those mistakes. And owning up to that distance that man has put, man has put between a large swath of people and God. So there's an individual level and then there's a church level. And I think it depends on what your position is, but I think everybody can do the work of just calling people out when they say something that they shouldn't, educating on those personal levels. Continuing to educate yourself is really good. I think reading is really helpful, but I think more importantly is listening, because my experience is different from other women's, and I think getting as many perspectives as you can is important. I think this is a key for you in the church, and we're asking that of the Black community and the Hispanic community. Like, all we're asking, basically anybody who isn't white that we've decided doesn't belong in our church, we're asking, okay, so how can we let you in now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a question that we're asking as a church and as a country, is okay, how can we finally let these people in? And because the work is just starting, I don't know if there's a good pattern for us to follow, but I can say my arms are tired and I need somebody with resolve who isn't getting knocked down to help me lift them up.
I really like that. Like, not really, it's not even metaphor, or just visualization of Moses, mm-hmm. and his brother hold it, you know, him having his arms held up. I guess in the sense of, it's all going to start with conversations like these and dealing with hard talks. And from what I understand, and this is not me attempting, because I know the mansplaining thing's an issue. this is just me trying to organize my thoughts. But starting with just sitting down and talking and raising each other's voices up, well, not each other's, but women's voices up, when it comes to church specific needs, but it can kind of go into the society as a whole, because there's so much misogyny in small things. Like, you have to have, like, for instance, out in the store, you've got like an aisle of pink, and then boys can only, you know, the Legos are for boys and the race cars are for boys. And it mm-hmm. just, it spans out from just, not just the church, but out to the wider, even in our language, we'll make fun of boys for being too feminine, or there's just so much to unpack. It almost feels overwhelming, and I can only imagine what that feels for women, in that overwhelming sense of how can we make this better? I would say, on a personal aspect, would you say that, I guess, having these conversations, finding ways to get involved in organizations, and just asking, how can I help? Well, not asking to lead in any aspect, because I don't think that would be a good idea, but how can we help? How can we further women's rights? I mean, I don't know if stepping out into that aspect, becoming an advocate, would be an idea, or I feel like I'm rambling. I'm tired.
No, you're good. I guess, just for clarification, like, what do you mean, like, with the organizations? Do you mean the church specifically, or what?
I would say if we're wanting to make changes in the church, obviously you do want to be involved in the church. Mm-hmm. But since the church seems to not be a good platform for women at this moment, I was thinking along the lines of possibly getting more involved in feminist groups outside the church to be able to bring it in.
Can I jump in there? Because I think that's exactly the point, right? Like, that's what we're seeing right now is there was a time in history, and this time still exists in many ways, where everything, including the church, beat down women, beat down LGBTQ plus people, was against anyone that wasn't white or the approved white, even when the Irish were coming over, like the Brits said, that's not approved white. And so there was this constant oppressive structure in place. The world is now moving faster than the church. And so I think our instinct is to go, well, the church isn't going to get there in time, so I'm now going to secularize an act of liberation. I do think that it's going to be harder in the church to do these things. Mm-hmm. But maybe this is me speaking out of turn, but I feel like it's our responsibility to resurrect the church as the agent of liberation. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's naive. But that's what I think. I think that it is easier for you to find a feminist group if the church isn't involved. And it's easier for you to find a group for racial equity if the church isn't involved. How do we reclaim the church as the agent of liberation?
Speaking to that, I think I would want to focus on the church because I can find all the feminist spaces I want to outside the church, but the fact is the church doesn't exist for me to exist in it right now. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't change, like, that spiritual need doesn't get met. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to focus on the church, mm-hmm, in a way, because I think as we focus on the church, it doesn't take us away from society. And it doesn't take us away from, like, the more secular aspects of things. I think if we only go into secular spaces, we're not going to change the church. And I think the church is going to go further away from where we want it to. And I think the church has an opportunity to move faster than society if we make the effort. Because I think a lot of times we like to pretend in terms of, I'll speak specifically to feminism, that the church is behind society. Pretty damn sexist still, and it's, mm-hmm, it hasn't gotten a whole lot better in terms of, like, if you look at the ratios between society and church, they're pretty equal. And church has the opportunity to say, hey, God says, and move from there. And I think it is essential for the church to do that reckoning. And so I think a lot of it is just, I think a lot of us don't have access to our church leaders, which is a problem. So very, I think, true, that kind of complicates the matter. But I think for the most part, you know, the suggestion boxes, you know, what do you want to learn about? I want to learn about women in the church. I want to learn about this. Like, putting it out there and having those conversations inside the church is essential.
Would you say that bringing, like, feminist groups into the church, like offering, like, them to come in and speak on specific subjects would be too out there of an option? Well, I don't know if some churches obviously are going to be against it, period, but, mm-hmm, churches that are opening, like, kind of like, you know, the three of us were actually sitting down and actually having a conversation about this hard topic. Do you think that inviting feminist leaders in the community that are pushing for change and pushing for equal rights, I mean, because that's still an issue in today's world, do you think inviting them to speak at the church, in not in just like a one-off series, but in the sense of actually during a service saying, hey, we're, mm-hmm, inviting this person to come and talk about a hard issue, mm-hmm, do you think that would be a step in the right direction?
I think it could be, depending on the church and depending on the congregation. I think that would work in some contexts and backfire in others. So I think it would be important for each like individual church to look at, okay, like how can we get this across to our congregation? And how can we have these conversations? Because I think right now, kind of like what you and Andrew both said, is that it hits on this issue that a lot of social justice issues, social justice groups have had to separate themselves from the church, mm-hmm. Because the church isn't making those steps. And unfortunately, the church has reacted in such a way that they've said, okay, well, those people are like anti-church and like we need to be in society, but not of it, or whatever bull the church says about that matter. Yeah, right. I can't remember the exact phrasing.
The gist, you got it.
The gist. So I think it could work in some congregations. But I think a lot of times if I don't hear it from the pastor, I don't think the church actually believes it.
Ah, okay.
Because I've been in church spaces where they've invited a local Black pastor to speak, but haven't really spoken on racial justice or racism in the country and any other matter. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, okay, but what does my church think? Like, why do we have to bring someone outside to be our only voice? Mm-hmm. So I think if that had been like the start of the conversation.
That's very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I think if that had been the start of a conversation and been like, we're going to start with this person who's going to tell you their experience of being the leader of a Black church in a city where white churches dominate. And then we're going to have this conversation as a church with our leaders. I think that would be really good. So I think something like that could function similarly, as like, hey, we're going to listen to the people in our society. Mm-hmm. We're going to listen to the people that are out there looking in and saying, this is how I feel with your church. This is what I deal with on a daily basis. And that being the start of a conversation from the church leaders themselves, mm-hmm. I think that's very valuable. But I think a lot of times, with my experience, it's just because you have a person that represents a quote unquote, like I've used quote unquote so many times tonight, I'm kind of annoyed with myself. I'm trying to like not say what I don't mean. Like quote unquote minority groups. And that's the only people you have, then it's not the church doing the reckoning. It's somebody coming in from the outside and doing the work for them. And I think the church needs to, each individual church needs to do their own work. And I think it gives a clearer, it's like that whole church clarity thing of what does your church actually stand for? Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't come from your pastor's or your preacher, your leader's mouth, it's not that it doesn't count, but it kind of feels like they aren't taking responsibility for it.
Yeah, because it doesn't necessarily pronounce that this is the direction the leadership is taking the church.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. So, okay. So we normally do 40-minute episodes. I think we're doing great.
We're coming up to the check mark.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I thought so. Okay, so Chanley, we've got you for 2 episodes. You've done this great job about showing us like how sometimes we jump the gun to something that doesn't necessarily change it systemically, but instead just kind of gives like this totem of, oh, we're doing better with the ladies now, you know? Mm-hmm. So
everybody wants to do better with the ladies.
Hey-o.
Hey.
That was fun. I'm glad we did that on recording. So excited about that. You're going to show us where we're going from here on the next one. I hope we get into a little bit of Paul to wrap up this series on how do we deal with Paul in a feminist lens. That'll be a good thing.
Yeah, we have not talked about Paul at all.
Yeah, I know. This was kind of
keep, you know, all the skills.
This was sticking our toes in the water at this point.
Yeah, we're jumping off the high dive next week.
I want to thank you all for joining us in this hard discussion, and I look forward to next week's discussion on Paul and wrapping up the season.